Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/Course Mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters. Really glad to be back with you this Monday morning. And it is the 21st of April, and we're going to be talking about Lesson 111, I think it's 111, as we continue to venture forth. I apologize for the background noise. We are on the road this morning, and also I want to beg your forgiveness for yesterday, my absence. I was guest speaker at the Center for Spiritual Living with my beautiful love, Reverend Claudia Renee Tambor, and it was just impossible for me technically to get everything done. To get a broadcast out yesterday. I want to refer you to the one, however, for Saturday, because I felt like that was really, a great broadcast because I really talked about Easter on that Saturday episode. So I hope you guys were able to plug into that. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I want to suggest that one to you, if you want to go back and listen. Today I want to continue looking at where we are in Chapter 11. We've been talking about Chapter 11, God or the Ego. And the next section is Section 5, the Dynamics of the Ego. And I know a lot of times people look at, and I've had some friends that we've talked with over the last year or so that have talked about the Course in Miracles having what was referred to as dark ink, okay, dark ink, because he does clearly talk about, the ego. And we watched a movie last night, and, there's no end to the viciousness of ego thinking. And there's so much appearance of hostility and anger and hatred in the world. At any moment, we put it out of our awareness. Make no mistake, here in the United States, in this country, if you will, where I reside, wherever you may be, and I know that this is an international radio broadcast, and you may be listening to this broadcast from Turkey or Venezuela or wherever you may be. Syria, but the point is that there is no end to the depth of insanity that the world puts on display for us on a regular basis. But in this country, our media filters most of it out. We were talking about Syria a couple of weeks ago, and our media was focused on our politicians and this and that and the other and the idiosyncrasies of, this small-minded person here and the small-minded person there, et cetera, et cetera. And I was, I'll be honest, it's hard not to judge, for me to judge the lack of true reporting. If we want to know what's going on in the world, you pretty much cannot rely on the American media. I'm sorry to say that. But while they were talking about petty squabbles between politicians, our brothers and sisters that were being tortured, their heads were being sawed off, literally. live. I mean, in Syria, you know, where the different factions, and I'm not into politics here, but the different factions are just murdering, brutally murdering, raping and brutalizing, you know, our fellow citizens. And we are citizens of the world. You know, the Course in Miracles isn't just for you wherever you may find yourself today. It's for the world. It's for the entire sonship. The whole thing is about the whole sonship. And while we seem to wrestle with this one or that one and this situation or that situation, and we feel like sometimes we've got it under control, and we have these mutually agreed upon definitions where we feel safe within our local environment, wherever we may be, make no mistake, the viciousness of the ego is beyond imagination. It's beyond comprehension. It's completely insane and chaotic. It's a pale word to use in trying to describe the insanity of the ego. So where we read the Course in Miracles and we see some areas of what we might talk about as being dark ink, I just want to speak to that and say, you know, we really need, and the purpose of this is for us to be able to recognize the ego, because when we talk about those gross, horrible situations that our brothers and sisters are going through in their world, wherever they may be, you know, it doesn't really, I mean, those are easy to recognize, right? We can recognize brutality. We can recognize hostility. We can recognize anger and hatred when it's displayed in such, you know, outrageous forms. But the ego is so absolutely subtle, because we can be sitting at home quite safe with someone who is very close to us, and our most important person in our life, you know, might be that one that's standing, you know, next to you right now and in your home with you each day, you know, your spouse or a significant other or whatever the case may be. And sometimes the ego slips under the back, it slips in the back door or under the windowsill, as I say, and we find ourselves, you know, spewing out anger or trying to project guilt or, you know, attacking someone that we love and would profess maybe to love more than anybody else out there. You know, so the ego catches us off guard constantly. So it's not always the gross violations, but it's the subtle ones as well. So it's important for us to understand the dynamics of the ego clearly so that we can recognize it. Because otherwise, if we've said, you know, there's no neutral. You know, you're either in the mind of the spirit, the universal intuition, the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, or you're in the mind of ego. And if you're in the mind of the ego, it is so conniving and manipulating that we don't even recognize that we're in that mind, and that sometimes we're projecting guilt or projecting anger or projecting a lack of full appreciation for our brothers and sisters. They're Christ that is in that one, everyone that you're with. So why wouldn't we, of course, recognize that? Because we're projecting the very things about ourselves that we believe about ourselves onto those other people. And so it's very tricky, this ego. So the ego dynamic is the topic that we're going to talk about today. And again, the reason for the supposed dark ink that shows here sometimes in our reading is simply because our teacher is wanting us to not miss and be vigilant and not miss on the opportunity to recognize when we can become spells that are rolling through our head that seem so damn real reasonable, that seem so rational to judge someone or strike out against someone or to withdraw our, just simply withdraw love, to just have some conditions, you know, based on whether or not we you know, we want to be with someone or spend time with someone, or maybe they just don't, we don't like their energy or whatever. And I'm not saying you've got to go out and spend time with people you don't like. But the question is, why don't you like them? You know, these are all opportunities for self-examination. So anyway, again, we're on the road today, so I want to read through, and this is a very long section. It's about 5 pages, so certainly not going to try to do that on the road today, but I want to get through the first few paragraphs as we begin Section 5, the dynamics of the ego. And the reason that this section is so long is because the ego is so slippery and sometimes hard to recognize. No one can escape from illusions unless he looks at them, for not looking is the way that they're protected. There is no way to shrink from illusions, for they cannot be dangerous. There's no need to shrink from illusions, because in reality, they're illusions, so they cannot be dangerous. We are ready now to look more closely at the ego's thought system, because together we have the lamp that will dispel it. And since you realize you do not want it, that is the ego, you must be ready. Let us be very calm in doing this, for we're merely looking honestly for truth. I mean, that's all we're doing, is looking honestly for truth. But if we are misled, I'm adding, if we're misled by our own thinking that it is our own thinking when it's ego mind, we can easily be misled by the very thoughts that we think are ours, thinking ourselves of something that's not true, being spellbound by a false thought system. The dynamics, quote-unquote, the dynamics of the ego will be our lesson for a while. So we must look first at this to see beyond it. We must see it first so that in order for us to see beyond it. And since you've made it real, this is very important. Since you have made it real and honestly look at it to see truth, which is beyond it, we will undo this error quite quietly together, and then look beyond it to truth. What is healing but the removal of all that stands in the way of knowledge? And how else can one dispel illusions except by looking at them directly without protecting them? We really have a desire to protect our own thoughts because we think they are our own thoughts, and we want to protect those thoughts, because we've given birth to them. We've made this ego thought system up, so since it's ours, it's really something that we've made, we have a tendency to want to create, to protect it. So healing is the removal of all that stands in the way of knowledge. Continuing, how else can one dispel illusions except by looking at them directly without protecting them? Be not afraid, therefore. For what you'll be looking at is the source of fear. And you're beginning to learn that fear is not real. You're also learning that its effects can be dispelled merely by denying their reality. You are also, this is very important, you're also learning that its effects, the effects of fear, can be dispelled merely by denying the reality of those effects. We get into some deep conversation ultimately about cause and effect. And so when we see what appears to be effect of a cause of the world, hostility, anger, hatred, war, murder, all of this, anger, depression, shame, guilt, all of this, it looks like the world offers us only the effects, but he's saying that all of these effects can be dispelled merely by denying their reality. The next step is obviously to recognize that what has no effects does not exist. What has no effects in reality does not exist. Laws do not operate in a vacuum, and what leads to nothing, simply, what leads to nothing has not happened. If reality is recognized by its extension, what leads to nothing could not be real. Reality being the love of God. It's recognized by the extension of that love. And what leads to nothing cannot be real. Do not be afraid, then, to look upon fear, for it cannot be seen. Clarity undoes confusion by definition, and to look upon darkness through light must dispel it. Doesn't attack darkness. We're bringing illusion to truth. We're not attacking illusion. We're simply bringing the light dynamics by understanding that the term itself does not mean anything. It contains the very contradiction in terms that makes it meaningless. The word dynamics, quote-unquote dynamics, implies the power to do something. And the whole separation, the idea of separation, the whole separation fallacy lies in the belief that the ego has the power to do anything, period. I'm adding, it does not. We are really learning that, aren't we? That the ego has no power. The ego is fearful to you because you believe that it has power. You believe this. Yet the truth is very simple. I want to interject here. If the world is always displaying and demonstrating and witnessing to us the power of the ego, it certainly can be very fearful when we look out upon a world of horror and murder and war and insanity and all the ramifications of that aspect of ego thinking, all of those things that we look at as the effects of hatred. And it certainly can be very, very convincing. In fact, letting go of it as being real is very difficult for me personally. I keep looking at what's going on in my environment and, oh, you know, and it disturbs my peace. I know I'm buying into it. I'm making it real. But the truth is very simple. Power is of God. All power. This one sentence has tremendous depth to it, my friends, so spend time with that today. All power is of God. Not that it says that that means that the ego has no power. All power is of God and nowhere else. In the mind of God, which is the only place that any of us could be, power is of God. That means that any dream that we have of something that is a fabrication of images, illusion, has no power. The effects themselves, the dynamics of the ego, is an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. What is not of him, God, has no power to do anything, period. So we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of sickness. We don't have to be afraid of anything. All power is of God, but to recognize that power, we must quit denying our inheritance. We must quit denying God, our true self, and start denying the appearance of the effects of ego. So I want to stop there today, given the level of technical challenge I'm experiencing as well as we're riding down the road, and I want to cover this in depth again tomorrow. So I want to stop there. So we'll pick up with the fourth chapter, the fourth paragraph of chapter 11 in section 5, the dynamics of the ego. And if you're following along, bookmark your page on page 203 in the second edition of A Course in Miracles. So let's turn to our lesson. It's lesson 111. Yesterday was a review lesson. I am as God created me. Extremely powerful, but it's the end also of a series of lessons. And we're beginning now a new section, which is another review in the workbook. It's actually our third review already. And we're going to cover again and add a little bit more content now that we're getting more depth of understanding. From our teacher, we're going to go back and review these last few lessons. So this this section that I want to read today is the beginning of the review, and we're going to cover three lessons at a time in our review. So for lesson 111, we're going to cover three lessons very quickly in review. Our sentences and our content is going to be shortened because the lesson itself is so powerful, and now you are beginning to see it from a deeper level of awareness. Even though you may not yet recognize it, you are now in a place where you can just kind of turn within and listen to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, our teacher, help you to understand, Father, what is the truth here? When we read a statement, we can turn within and listen to that voice. But I want to read the introduction to this review. Our next review begins today, and we will review two recent lessons every day for 10 successive days of practice. Excuse me, I said a three, but it's two. It's just there's a third component to it. But we're going to review two lessons every day for 10 successive days of practice. And we're going to observe a special format for these practice periods that you're urged to follow just as closely as you can. We understand, of course, that it may be impossible for you to undertake what's suggested here as optimal each day and every hour of the day, but learning will not be hampered when you miss a practice period because it is impossible at this appointed time. Nor is it necessary that you make excessive effort to be sure that you catch up in terms of numbers. Rituals are not our aim and would defeat our goal. But learning will be hampered when you skip a practice period because you're unwilling to devote the time to it that you're asked to give. So don't deceive yourself in this. Unwillingness can be most carefully situations you cannot control. Remember the dynamics of the ego, and we're just getting into some discussion now about that. But this all ties in very closely here as we begin our study and understanding of the dynamics of ego, how the ego will use the things that we think are out of our control, giving them power. All power is of God. So giving things that are happening in our day a power over us so that we are unwilling, literally, to step out of ego thinking and to practice our practice. Learn then to distinguish situations that are poorly suited to your practicing from those that you establish to uphold a camouflage for your unwillingness. Those practice periods that you've lost because you did not want to do them for whatever reason should be done as soon as you have changed your mind about your goal. You are unwilling to cooperate in practicing salvation only if it interferes with goals that you hold more dear. When you withdraw the value given them, these goals that you hold more dear, when you withdraw the value given them, allow your practice period to be replacements for your litanies of them and litanies to them. They gave you nothing. But your practicing can offer everything to you. So accept their offering and be at peace. The format you should use for these reviews is this. Devote 5 minutes twice a day, or longer if you would prefer it, to considering the thoughts that are assigned. 5 minutes twice a day, or longer if you would prefer. Read over the ideas and the comments that are written down for each day's exercise, and then begin to think about them while letting your mind relate them to your needs, your seeming problems, and all your concerns. The idea is within your mind, and let it use them, your mind, that is, let it use them as it chooses. Give it faith that it will use them wisely, being helped in its decisions by the one who gave the thoughts to you. You can trust. What can you trust but what is in your mind? Have faith in these reviews. The means the Holy Spirit uses will not fail. The wisdom of your mind will come to your assistance. Give direction at the outset, then lean back in quiet faith and let the mind employ the thoughts you gave as they were given you, given them in perfect trust, in perfect confidence that you would use them well, in perfect faith that you would see their messages and use them for yourself. Offer them to your mind in that same trust and confidence and faith. it will not fail. It is the Holy Spirit's chosen means for your salvation. Since it is, or since it has his trust, his means must surely merit yours as well. We emphasize the benefits to you if you devote the first 5 minutes of the day to your reviews and also give the last 5 minutes of your waking day to them. If this cannot be done, at least try to divide them so you can undertake one in the morning and the other in the hour just before you go to sleep. The exercises to be done, they are equally important and perhaps of even greater value. If you've been inclined to practice only at appointed times and then go on your way to other things without applying what you learned to them, as a result, you've gained little reinforcement and have not given your learning a fair chance to prove how great are its potential gifts to you. Here's another chance to use it well. In these reviews, we stress the need to let your learning not lie idly by between your longer practice periods. Attempt to give your daily two ideas a brief but serious review each hour. Use one on the hour and the other one on a half an hour later. You need not give more than just a moment to each one. Repeat it and allow your mind to rest a little time in silence and in peace. Then turn to other things, but try to keep the thought with you and let it serve to help you keep your peace throughout the day as well. If you're shaken, think of it again. These practice periods are planned to help you form the habit of applying what you learn each day to everything you do. Do not repeat the thought and lay it down. Its usefulness is limitless to you, and it's meant to serve you in all ways, all times and places, and wherever, whenever you need help of any kind. So try then to take it with you today and make it holy, worthy of God's child, God's son, God's daughter, acceptable to God and to your true self. Each day's review assignments will conclude with a restatement of the thought to use each hour and the one to be applied on each half hour as well. Forget them not. This second chance with each of these ideas will bring such large advances that we come from these reviews with learning gains so great we will continue on more solid ground with firmer footsteps and with stronger faith. Do not forget how little you've learned yet, how much you can learn now. And do not forget your Father's need of you as you review these thoughts he gave to you. Now let's turn to Lesson 111. And this is for morning and evening review. Miracles are seen in light. I cannot see in darkness. Let the light of holiness and truth light up my mind, and let me see the innocence within. They're seen in light. And miracles, my friends, are a sudden shift of perception. When we turn to the Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, the truth is there, and it's revealed to us simply for the asking. We cannot see in darkness. So let us let the light of holiness and truth light up our minds and let us see the innocence within ourselves. The second one is miracles are seen in light, and light and strength are one. I see through strength the gift of God to me. And remember from our reading today, all power is of God. I see through strength the gift of God to me. My weakness is the dark his gifts dispel by giving me his strength to take its place. I see through strength the gift of God to me. My weakness is the dark his gift dispels by giving me his strength to take its place. His strength, my friends, is nothing more than your right mind, because your mind and the mind of God are one. On the hour, miracles are seen in light. On the half hour, miracles are seen in light, and light and strength are one. So that concludes our workbook lesson for today. And I want to end our session today with, if I can, with a prayer. Join you in prayer. So with a moment of silence, Father, your son is safe wherever he may be, for you are there with him. He need but call upon your name, and he will recollect his safety and your love, for they are one. How can we fear or doubt or fail to know that we cannot suffer, we cannot be endangered, or we cannot experience unhappiness when we belong to you, Father, beloved and loving, in the safety of your fatherly embrace. We ask for the blessings of your understanding, of the miracles of turning within and listening to your voice, Father. The Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, the universal intuition that we share the one mind with you and with all of the sonship. And then we say, in your name, Father, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining me. It's really been a wonderful experience for me, personally, today to be with you, be back on the air with you. And I'm so very excited to be here. We will be back tomorrow morning. And look forward to being back on home base tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y. @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.